she returns to her home in Marshall in the summer of 1934, and she was 44 years old at that time. Mm-hmm. So the good fight is on at that age. She continues then, while she's at home, to pursue teaching positions without any mm-hmm. success. She makes a plea to Dr. Dale at the University of Oklahoma. And I want to go to your book here, page 89. I just want to read this because I think it's choice. As she wrote to him, she says, "The successful books I have written have typed and labeled me still further. I have really done better work in other history fields than many of the people who have specialized in them. But because my books about Indians have been so outstanding, people assume that I am ignorant of all other subjects. I'm writing so fully because I hope you can help me. I know that people who can hold the attention of a college class and inspire students to enter into research and writing are not too plentiful, even in the overcrowded history field. And it seems to me there should be a place where my talents could be used. I am not desperate or discouraged, for I can always find things to do, but I am not satisfied to waste the best of my gifts."
Yes.
That's Angie DeBoe.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's all right there. She knew that she was a talented historian. She knew she was excellent in the classroom. And she was requesting and sometimes pleading with Dale to help her secure those tenure track positions. And sadly, in my research, I'm seeing that he would do more for his other graduate students, mostly men, than he would for her.
Of course, there was this thing that I guess some colleges, women's colleges, began hiring men over women because they felt that men had families to support.
Right. So this is the 1930s, the idea of the traditional family, the male breadwinner, women working for pin money. But what we know when we look back is not all women are working for pin money, right? And women and single women and scholars need to support themselves. But the idea during the 1930s was that these jobs should go largely to men.
And isn't it true that some women did not get married because they'd say, well, you've got a husband that supports you. They'd remain single so they could get hired.
Yes, it was going on. And so these women, the women that I'm looking at, all of them remained single. All of them remained intentionally single for a variety of reasons, whether it was the commitment to the work. They knew what they might be giving up if they did decide to marry. So they could not have it all. They could not put it all together and make it work. They chose to remain single.
Yeah, and we got to remember, she wasn't the only one as mm-hmm. a female. There was a whole host of women mm-hmm. that were trying to get into the field as mm-hmm. she was. Mm-hmm. And her friend, Dr. Dale at OU, could have given her a job.
Yes.
And didn't he hire some females over her?
He may have hired some women, but I also know that he hired some men who were also his graduate students who didn't have books out, who were not as qualified as DeBoe, and he hired them over her.
So by the mid-40s, only one woman had taught in the OU history department. Maybe that is one area that she decides, all right, they're never going to hire me in a history department, so I'll be a writer.
You know, in general, it's tough to think that you're going to get to work at the institution where you received your degree. Some people are fortunate to do that. Most of us are not. At the same time, when we're talking kind of negatively about her mentor, Dale, she also had the utmost respect for him. They had a very significant relationship and connection throughout their lives. When she would meet with him, she had the deepest respect for him.
Even though
she still respected him deeply.